talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was Bad Moon Rising by Creedence Clearwater Revival, and we're continuing to play some of the songs, clips of the songs from the Big Chill soundtrack, a best-selling multi-platinum soundtrack. In addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about our home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Ashley Rowell. In addition to our radio show, Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the Charleston Home and Design Show. That's coming up in about 2 months, about 60 days from now, January 24th through the 26th, at the North Charleston Convention Center Ballrooms. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking with Rick Jackson with Carolina Machine Finishing and Carolina Mobile Storage about his relief efforts in Western North Carolina. Also, Tricia Greenberg with Terrace Oaks Antiques and Linda Greenberg with Linda Greenberg Landscape and Design. No relation. Have a great weekend. And now we're talking with Rick Jackson. He is an advertiser. You've seen his Carolina Machine Finishing full-page ad in the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and has been an advertiser with us for 25 years. Very, very proud of that. And we're going to touch base about your businesses, Rick. But Rick, I wanted to talk with you today about the relief work that you recently did in the wake of Hurricane Helene in Western North Carolina. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing very well, Tim. Thank you for talking with me today. Appreciate your 25 years of allowing us to be able to advertise in the publication, and your friendship and brotherhood. It's been special to me. It's been a wonderful 25 years. So thank you.
I'm very grateful for the friendship as well. So, Rick, what part of Western North Carolina are you from?
I am from, as are most of my children, from Hendersonville, North Carolina, Henderson County, there in the western part of the state. You know, we used to consider that to be the other end of I-26. So, So born and raised in Hendersonville.
Gotcha. And Rick, as I mentioned, you are a business owner of several very successful small businesses here in Charleston, Carolina Machine Finishing, Carolina Mobile Storage, and did I leave anything out?
No, we've been in the construction industry all those years. Carolina Machine Finishing, Carolina Mobile Storage are what we do primarily.
Right. And you are the father of 11 children and 26 grandchildren, several of whom also work in the family business. Is that right?
That is correct. We have some, obviously, so it's my sons, my son-in-law, my brother, nephew, my sister-in-law, So, and my wife. So everybody's, you know, we've had quite a bit of us that participate in the business together.
Well, congratulations on the longevity. I believe Carolina Machine Finishing, you folks started about the same time that we got off the ground 25 years ago. Is that right?
That is correct. So March 1st, we'll celebrate our 26th year. So we're in our 25th year, just like you. So, and it's been a wonderful ride. We've just met some of the most incredible people in the Lowcountry throughout South Carolina. So a wonderful transition for us to leave the mountains to come to the coast, love it here, but of course still have a lot of loved ones and consequently been, you know, greatly impacted by storm there during Hurricane Helene.
Right, and you've made a lot of very long lasting friendships in the construction industry. I ran into you at the recently at the Buck Lumber customer appreciation lunch, and there was no shaking hands with Rick Jackson. Everybody was giving you hugs, and you're very, very close, and people speak very highly and think very highly of Rick Jackson and Carolina Machine Finishing. So what's your secret?
It's the motivation of my life. I don't know why. It's undeserved reciprocated love. But the passion of my life has been to love other people, because everybody's important, and everybody, doesn't matter what social, economic status people come from. We all deal with the same life issues, and it's just caring about people more than caring about stuff, about business, about money, about profit, about, you know, my own life. And that's been the what's been reciprocated is more love than I certainly deserve. Mm. But it's been it's my pleasure to my highest goal is to love others.
You're also a very humble person who doesn't like to talk about yourself much, but along with your wife Kathy, tell our listeners about your devotion to serving persecuted believers around the world and at home and helping others in general.
Yeah, and our faith is certainly critical to everything that we do. So, that's what drives our business principles. It's what drives our social principles, and our economic as well. And we've been privileged to work with a local organization right here in Charleston, Remember. We've traveled. I think I've traveled to 38 countries, serving in places where we minister to persecuted Christians, places where Christians suffer up to and including death because of their faith. And most of those are some dark areas of the world. So when you get into the Middle East and some of those places, North Sudan, South Sudan, Jordan, not as bad, but Iraq, Lebanon, many places in the Middle East. And then in Southeast Asia and Southwest China, Burma, Philippines, many areas where we go into. And we have a great group of medical doctors here in the Lowcountry will give their own time, will pay their own way to go, take time off, sacrifice to go to places where they can render medical aid to people that have quite probably never seen a doctor in their entire life. Mm. And I've had the privilege of, you know, traveling with those groups and kind of organizing the trips and the clinics. And we've built safe houses for Christians in Liberia and South Sudan, orphanages in Burma. And it's just been an incredible journey to be able to take people along and to see that, you know, we kind of get, you know, microscopically focused on just what goes on around in our lives. And then to see the world in a much bigger picture, certainly motivates, you know, a lot of people to love bigger than what they normally love.
Right. How long have, and the local organization that you mentioned is called Remember. You can find it online, remember.org. How long have you led these medical missions with doctors from MUSC to some of the most dangerous places around the world?
Tim, and it's rememberthose.org.
Remember those,
and,
excuse me.
Sorry for that correction, but I appreciate that. But Tim, I would say we've been doing it for 15 years and have made as many as 6 trips in 1 year. Just Yeah, the need's great, and it's always interesting when you take a group of doctors, some of who maybe never ventured outside the United States, and they think, well, are we really going to make an impact? Can we really make a difference? And if you just look at it in the aggregate total, no, you won't make a dent in the need that's out there. But then when you go, and the people are lined up for the clinic, they've never seen a medical doctor, they've never had medicine to treat them for anything, and they're lined up and and you'll see a doctor who's somewhat reluctant, but then all of a sudden he's there working, and at 5 o'clock I'm trying to shut the clinic down, and they see a long line of people still out there, like, we can't stop, we got to keep going, how are we going to take care of all these people? And it's exciting just to watch that spark ignite in them, to realize that no, what we may only see a few hundred or a few thousand people, and in a world the size that we are, that's a small bit of difference. But in that one person's life, it made an incredible difference.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. And most recently, you led some relief efforts in Western North Carolina. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yes, obviously impacted by, the day, just hours probably after that, horrible 4-hour period where the floodwaters ravaged Western North Carolina, Eastern Tennessee, Northeast Georgia, even Northwest South Carolina, Florida. Having family there, lost power, began to get those phone calls. We began to try to mobilize help to get up that way, to be able to get them generated, to be able to get generators into the area, to get fuel into that area with tanks. We had local friend loaned us of his pickup truck and a tank that we loaded in the back and sent up initial, generators and gasoline and a truck full of water so they could have potable water. And then then began exploring what more could we do up there. Obviously going up to see the devastation is quite alarming. I think everybody's seen it in the news, but then to see it in person is just unbelievable, to be able to see the amount of damage that those 4 hours of just, a small 8-foot creek with clear bubbling water over beautiful little river stone turned into these, 50, 60, 70 foot deep, incredibly wide raging torrents that ripped homes from foundations. And so we started sending supplies up early and then working with local folks here in Charleston to try to figure out how we could get funds and materials into Western North Carolina. So I had the privilege of driving up with Will Albrecht, one of the owners of Southern Lumber, and we toured all through Black Mountain and Swannanoa, Fairview, Eastmore, back into Biltmore Village. We came back through Mills River and back into Hendersonville, my hometown. We actually were able to meet people who stood in one of my high school graduate classmates, 2 days older than me, and stand in his yard. He grew up less than 500 yards from my home and lived on the river and stood there in his yard. He's 65. I'm 65, obviously. And to stand there and listen to him tell the story of how, he had to get out of his house. Water was rising. It went all the way to the peak of the roof.
Wow.
He lost everything. He's standing there in the yard crying, telling Will and I, he's 65. How does he start over? Doesn't have flood insurance. Nobody ever thought it would do that. And how do people like that rebuild? So that's the people we started targeting and are trying to help.
Yeah, that's something that my wife and I were asking ourselves, who buys flood insurance when they live in the mountains? I mean, the coast, of course, but so many of those folks up there did not have flood insurance, and so they're having to pick up the pieces themselves.
That's exactly right. So they don't know quite what to do. So it's coming in there and to be able to say, well, we can send, Carolina Mobile Storage. We'll send a dumpster truck up there. We'll, get a friend to come in and do the demolition and tear what's left down and to be able to try to help rebuild. And then, as you just mentioned it to people in the low country, people have a heart that, we've suffered damage here. So in the low country from previous storms. So, and it's just been encouraging to watch people want to give, to send materials, to ship stuff to, to the area. Will and I had a privilege of staying in, actually we were able to privilege to stay in the Billy Graham house in Black Mountain due to the generosity of a man named Steve Thomas out of Charlotte, North Carolina, who has an organization called Red Truck Men. Unique name, a lot of history behind that, but Red Truck Men Relief. And Tim, we were in Black Mountain and watched these men come up. We met men from Maine, Alaska, Colorado, Arkansas, Tennessee, some from North Carolina and South Carolina, who were given of their time, had driven all those distances, pulling trailers with tools and equipment to come and set up in this facility in Black Mountain. They made breakfast for 1,500 people every day. They made lunch for 1,500 people every day. They made dinner for 1,500 people every day. They're still doing it. I talk to them every day. And they're sending crews out into the communities, into neighborhoods. The first wave is to begin to do cleanup, getting trees out of driveways, getting trees off of houses, that necessary stuff to just so you can have the logistical component be able to continue. And then they're now moving into some of the repair work where they're patching holes in roofs, replacing windows, cutting out drywall, drying out houses. And then eventually we'll start to do some reconstruction for places that were totally destroyed.
So your job is not done. You've just started then.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, the storm's long since passed, but you know, there are people that are still without power there. So
it's getting cold.
And the cold, you know, we've been blessed that, you know, so far we haven't suffered, you know, much of a, you know, cold fall or, you know, looming winter in front of us. So Will and I went up, we took propane heaters and propane tanks and cords and those things have been filled and sent out. I don't know how many hundreds, thousands of those could be needed. There are people without power, and they tell us that some of them will not receive power for as much as 6 months or more.
Oh, my goodness.
Primary distribution lines are destroyed, and those distribution lines run up and over mountains. So when trees have fallen everywhere, they can't even get to them. It's not unlike, you know, it's more difficult to recreate the infrastructure than what we suffer. When we have a flood of that magnitude of 30 plus inches, it's like you overfilled the bathtub, you know, for 2 days vacation. It just kind of crept everywhere and everything got wet, but it didn't tear out any walls. Mm-hmm. They got hit by, you know, a river tsunami that just has destroyed everything, plus the winds. So it's incredible. The need, the work there is immeasurable. I visited with a guy, Jason Calvert is his name. He lives just probably a half a mile from my hometown. And he was able to flee his home. Water rose all the way to the soffit on his house. But he has three neighbors across the street, elderly, who were trapped in their home. He finally heard them yelling inside their attics. He grabbed a chainsaw and a canoe, canoed across this raging water, and chainsaw cut them out of their houses. They would have perished had he not saved their life. That'll never make it to Time magazine, but that's just what the people were doing during that time, and they have to rebuild their own lives after that. But lives were saved in the midst of it all.
Oh, my goodness. Well, obviously, I wonder, is there any way that some of our listeners could help?
There certainly is, Tim. I mean, obviously, people have been very gracious to want to buy heaters, buy propane tanks. We were just talking the other day about taking the next, when we're taking the next load of materials up, I'm waiting to get the next list of things that we need. We just sent funds this morning to rebuild a couple's house, all the new drywall, buy them interior doors and things. At least their home was salvageable. It was flooded. So those are the ones that are being remedied first. The ones to build are going to be in the next few years. So probably the best way to, you know, for right now, Tim, I can direct through different organizations that we're working with. You know, it would take too long to be able to list it here. But if they called me directly, I would be honored. I'll give them my email address. They can text me. But there's organizations in Hendersonville, organizations in Swannanoa, in Black Mountain, in Fairview, all the areas that I work, that I'm primarily focused on. But the work's much broader than that. But, you know, that's more than, you know, than fathomable, or even to be able to remediate all of that. But if they could call me, I can give my cell phone number and
please do
contact information if you wouldn't mind. So they can reach me on my cell phone at 843-200-5261. Again, that's 843-200-5261. Feel free to text me. You can reach me by email at Rick, R-I-C-K, at cmfprefinish.com. That's C like in Carolina, M like in machine, F like in finishing, Rick at cmfprefinish.com. And I'd be happy to put people in touch. Some people have given and need tax write-off, and some people have given thousands of dollars and could care less about the tax write-off. So I can direct those funds and needs to places where I guarantee you, and everything that is given is going to the people. So not, you know, there's no organization that's collecting a percentage off the top. It's all going to the people.
And folks can also contact Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and we can put you in touch with Rick Jackson as well. If you didn't get a chance to write down that number, 843-200-5261, 843-200-5261. And this is a totally separate subject, but it also is related to the character of you, the person I'm talking with right now, and who our listeners are listening to your story. In October, in August of 2021, I remember it was the weekend of our fall home show, and you weren't there. And I asked your sons, who were staffing your booth, the Carolina Machine Finishing booth at the show, and they filled me in that you folks had a family in Afghanistan that was impacted by the withdrawal of the U.S. troops from Afghanistan, and you were trying to get this family, this Christian family in Afghanistan, evacuated. And can you share your story about that? That's several years ago, but it's certainly a very impactful story.
Well, thank you, Tim. Yes, that was, you know, and that probably will have impacted me for the balance of my life. So working with all of our board members from Remember, we were in contact with our point of contact in Afghanistan, and his name was Fareed. I couldn't say it in that day. We can say it today. We'll avoid using his last name, but his name was Fareed. And Fareed and his wife and their three children, two daughters and sons, were trying to flee Mosul, northern Afghanistan, trying to get to Kabul to get out of the country. So they had papers that would get them to Germany. They had worked, been our liaison there on the ground in northern Afghanistan, had done a great work caring for lots of people, had built a great name and reputation. And then when the whole withdrawal thing, that whole event erupted, they had a reward on their life. So Fareed had to flee home. They were able just to barely pack a go bag and fled Mosul. And for a period of days, I don't even remember how many days it was, Tim, somebody was up almost 24 hours a day between myself and the other board members communicating with Fareed. We used the app Signal at that point in time, so we could communicate with security, so it couldn't be captured by or intercepted by anybody. And they moved all over the country. We would get them into places, and they would call that they can hear the police in the street. They're going house to house searching for various individuals, and they were killing them. They witnessed killings as they fled. It was just a horrible event. We finally got them into Kabul. They weren't far from the airbase to be able to try to get lifted out. They had all the documents, paperwork they needed to get out, and couldn't get them in. The city was just a chaotic mess, and the Taliban were killing people. I remember one night we got them to close to the gate. I forget what that gate was called
gate.
Now. The Abbey Gate. We got them within distance of the Abbey Gate. They could see the Taliban roadblock ahead, so they got out of the car, and I'm on the phone with them, and I've been tracking them by the bizarre thing we can do nowadays. I was tracking them. They had their phone locator turned on, so I'm tracking them on Google Earth, and had been giving directions to them based on streets where to turn and how to get to the Abbey Gate. And they've got stopped by just in distance from a Taliban roadblock. And they got out of their car and they began to navigate. We're going to walk them down the street to get over to the Abbey Gate when the Taliban opened fire on the crowd. So screaming and yelling, we directed him to get back into the car and get to the safe house that wasn't too far from the airbase. And they did. They got back. We knew it. We weren't going to be able to get them out through the Abbey Gate. Of course, the Abbey Gate then was consequently, that tragic event there. We lost, servicemen and lots of Afghanis' lives at that gate. Later, we were able to get them to a more secure gate, three-letter organization in the United States. We got them to the gate of a secret intelligence agency. Into that gate, we got them through the gate and into the base. And then they were, to the disappointment of the Marines who had to turn them around, who were under strict orders that they could not enter the air. They were safe inside the airport, and they were directed back out and sent back out to what would potentially be imminent death. And over the course of working with other organizations, you had Mercury One and so many other groups there, Free Burma Rangers that we were working with, super smart folks in our organization that, I could list a bunch of names, but got them back into Mosul and they were able to get out. We got them into Dubai. They were in a refugee camp there for a year trying to get asylum. And finally, they were able to make it to the United States. And something you don't know, but they will actually be at my house for Thanksgiving next Thursday.
That's amazing.
So we are so super excited about that. So that is a high honored guest. Fareed and his wife, Sonia, and their children will be with us. So an incredible story just to be able to see what, people were doing to be able to help people who had no hope. They thought death was imminent. But their lives were spared and many weren't.
Right. Yeah. And I remember you telling me about some of the checkpoints that they had to go to in Afghanistan as they were trying to find a safe house. And you were instructing them to hide documents and things like that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, they because obviously they the paperwork that they had to carry to be able to get them out of the country, to get them into Germany, is not favorable paperwork for the Taliban. So they would duct tape it underneath the front seat of the car. They had to change cars a couple times. And they would duct tape it under the seat, and they were just fearful. I mean, we would talk until they could see that they were close enough to where the Taliban could see them, and they would have to, they would shut off their phone. And then Sonia would have to hide it inside her underclothes to be able to not find the phone. And every time was a risk of, it was life or death through everything. It was a 50-50 gamble whether they made it through or not. And so we would lose communication with them, and then we wouldn't hear from them for an hour. And that whole pensive hour, knowing whether or not they were alive or dead. And then phone would turn back on, and it was off to the next checkpoint, off to the next safe house, off to the next attempt to try to get them out of the country. It was a grueling couple of weeks it spanned over before we finally were able to get them safely out, thanks to Glenn Beck and Mercury One team. Got them on an aircraft, and that was harrowing, even right to the last minute. So until the wheels pulled up and we were tracking them on FlightAware, when the wheels pulled up and that aircraft took off, that was a shouting bunch of Americans back here in Charleston.
I can imagine. And they're going to be visiting Charleston. We had an invitation to attend, and unfortunately we can't attend that on Saturday 11:30 November 30th. But I was wondering, is there Fareed and his family, have they settled in? I think you told me they had settled in California.
Iowa. They're in Iowa. So Iowa. They wanted to be near, working through the Lutheran services, they were to, that's the immigration, most of the immigration's done through Lutheran Church or the Catholic Church. And they were able to make it back into the States, and their desire was to be among Afghanis. They wanted to, love their own people, serve their own people, even here in a different country. So Iowa has a pretty strong base of Afghan refugees there. So they're out there. Sonia's gone through some health issues in their time here, but we're looking forward to catching up with them all of next week. And as you say, they'll be attending a banquet on Saturday as well. So it'll be good to hear an update. Maybe we can update. I'll update you after
I get to be able to
hug them and love on them in a week.
I'm sure. Well, I'm sure we have listeners that are saying, is there any way that they can help? And perhaps to donate to remember those, the local organization that you were mentioning, the board members of this local organization that help coordinate their evacuation and so forth. Is talk about how folks could donate if they could.
Thank you, Tim. Yes, they can. The web address is rememberthose.org. They can donate online. You can see the office address online there as well. They can certainly mail a check. It's all tax deductible. One thing I'm proud to say is that every penny goes to help those in need. Nothing, all the organizational costs, administrative costs are all underwritten by local businesses. And not one penny is used to buy a piece of paper. It all goes to service those in need, and that's a privilege to be able to do that. When you can give you can stand with a great fiduciary responsibility, telling people face to face that every penny you gave went to serve those in need.
And is that still? There's obviously costs involved with that, and those are still being covered by?
They are.
The Bostick Law Firm?
They are being covered by Bostick Law Firm. Curtis Bostick and his benevolent heart's been able has done that. And there are a number of other companies and businesses and individuals that actually help, sometimes will send a check in to help cover the operating costs. But when somebody makes a contribution, they want it to go to
the people that need it.
That's what it does. And only if you direct, if you direct otherwise. Otherwise, we're grateful to Curtis and Bostick Law Firm for underwriting the vast majority of all those organization operational administrative costs.
Well, we appreciate our listeners' indulgence. Most people tune in to the radio show to hear about home improvement tips and so forth. But this is Rick Jackson is a close member of our family at Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I think it's a good example as we enter the holiday season of the sacrifice that you and Kathy and the entire Remember Those organization how you are all giving so much it's very touching. Everything you just talked about, it seems like there could be a couple of movies about your experiences there. So it's amazing work that you do. I don't know if it's possible to nominate someone for sainthood, but if I could, I would.
You're too kind. You are overly gracious there. So I appreciate the friendship and the brotherhood, Tim. That means more to me than anything. And just to your listeners, our listeners today, know just what a great man you are, and what an incredible, heart for people, your heart for your clients, your heart for your family. And you always talk about everybody else, and you always honor other people. You work hard to be able to bless and grow their businesses. But I want to thank you on behalf of all the advertisers and people who've been impacted by the trade shows that you put on, Tim. Thank you and Miss Jenny and your precious daughters for all that you do, the love that you show, particularly me and Kathy, but so many. I have never heard one negative word spoken about your name or reputation in my entire life.
Oh, well, thank you.
And few people can say such things.
Thank you, Rick. And remember, that organization is rememberthose.org. If you want to go directly to and check out the local organization. And again, you can either contact Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and we'll put you in touch with Rick Jackson. And if you want to help with the Western North Carolina relief efforts that Rick is involved with, or call Rick Jackson directly at 843-200-5261, 843-200-5261. Thanks so much, Rick. Appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Tim. Have a blessed day.
And now we're talking with Tricia Greenberg, and she is a vendor at Terrace Oaks Antiques. How are you, Tricia?
I am fine, thank you.
Good.
Hope you are.
Yes, I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. And Tricia, how long have you been a vendor at Terrace Oaks Antiques?
34 years.
Wow, 34 years.
Yeah.
Well, you must be pretty happy with Terrace Oaks Antiques to be a vendor there that long.
Oh, yes, it is fabulous. I've been in a lot of antique malls through the years, and this has been my consistent one that I've never left.
Mm-hmm.
It's just never fails to be a wonderful location and store to be in with the manager or the owner, Camille Wish.
Right. Yeah. Well, having been a vendor there that long, you could probably tell our listeners all about Terrace Oaks Antiques.
Well, thank you. It has 90 booths. It has been selected for many years now as the favorite antique shop in Charleston. And this year, it was 6 years in a row that it's been Charleston's choice by the News and Courier,
right,
voted by the people of Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we got the trifecta, which was voted the best antique store for Charleston Choice and the News and Courier. It was also for Charleston Living Magazine and the best antique store by the city paper.
Mm. Well, congratulations on that. That's great.
Very exciting. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
There's some good competition out there.
Oh, definitely.
So
definitely.
We were thrilled.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think about people visiting Terrace Oaks Antiques and perhaps integrating some of the treasures they can find at Terrace Oaks Antiques into their own home? What would you recommend for them?
Oh, well, you know, the trends have come and go a little. We have about anything you could want as far as furniture. We have, you know, the traditional Charleston like furniture, the antiques. We have mid-century. That's about as new as we try to have.
Mm-hmm.
But then always, you know, the stylish bamboo, wicker, all that. Then we have beautiful silver, which is so beautiful in the dining room and so useful. We have barware. We have every decorative porcelain you could really think of that's antique, rose medallion, amari, the always popular blue and white transferware. We even have a huge selection of oyster plates, which is, you know, really hot right now and always hard to find.
What's an oyster plate?
To be amazed. It's a plate used by the Victorians. The one we try not to have, you know, the reproductions. We have the antique ones from usually 1890, 1900. They were really popular. when they had, you know, so many courses and a plate for every type of food they would serve. So these are plates, usually 8.5 to 9 inches with individual wells that the oyster and the half shell would go in. And in the center, there might be a little round well for a lemon or for sauce. Mm. And each person at the table would have, you know, one of these.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're popular now going on walls. They have what's called oyster plate walls.
Oh.
So many of the beautiful plates that everyone had on their tables are now also incorporated on their walls as decoration. And so these oyster plate walls have become very popular.
Mm, yeah.
Especially, you know, in coastal areas.
Right,
like
right.
Charleston.
Well, with the holidays coming up, I have frequently visited Terrace Oaks Antiques and found some very special gifts for people, things that are going to be completely unique. They're probably never going to get a gift like that from anyone else. What would you recommend?
Well, the state jewelry is fabulous. We have you know, the solid gold jewelry. We also have gold filled, and we have costume jewelry. And we have, you know, the designer costume jewelry as well. And there's so many men that come in sometimes last minute and just find that really unique gift for, you know, their wife or girlfriend. I think oyster plates make great gifts. The silver. People, you know, a lot of people come in and get flatware to fill out their children or grandchildren's sterling silver flatware for the table. That makes a great gift. There's just such a selection. We also have military and sports memorabilia. That's another popular gift for the man in your, you know, life. We have lots of barware. Barware is really hot right now, and that makes a great gift.
Mm.
We have lots of glasses, and we have jiggers, silver jiggers, sterling jiggers, bar tags for your decanters. We have lots of decanters. All that is just makes great gifts and are unique and fun.
Yeah, and the I think one of the great things, you can go to, you know, like a Marshall's or a TJ Maxx and find items that are supposed to look like they're antiques, they're distressed or what have you, but you can get the real thing at Terrace Oaks Antiques. And
right, and it won't fall apart.
That's true. I was gonna
stood the test of time.
I was gonna say my favorite booth, and when I'm dropping off Charleston Home and Design magazines to Terrace Oaks Antiques, every now and then I'll have a few extra minutes and I'll meander through past the front desk where all your very, very friendly staff is there.
Thank you.
And kind of hang a left and go straight, and there's a particular vendor that has, as you mentioned before, a lot of military items. I think he does some metal detecting, and he finds items from the Civil War and all that good stuff.
Yes. We call that the man room, and we can always tell the customers that come in and they just head straight there and take a left.
That's me.
And we know exactly where they're going and what's going to interest them.
Yeah.
Bottles. Then we, you know, have the baseball cards, comics, lots. We have something for everyone. Oh, and the records. I forgot the records.
Mm. Vinyls making a comeback.
Vinyls. Yes, they are. And we have the dealer upstairs, and then there are also vinyls in, you know, many of the booths. But we do have one just exclusive vinyl dealer upstairs that's popular.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's another one that you can tell when some of the young people come in and they go straight up the stairs.
Yeah. Right.
Straight up the stairs or straight to the left.
That's right. Well, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask you, have you, over the years, have you ever had one of those antique roadshow moments where you have found an antique that, you know, turns out to be really, really valuable?
Yes, which is fun. Well, what I heard about another fellow dealer who bought a necklace and then discovered it was either 14 or 18 carat. And that was really great. And I bought some beautiful George Jensen pieces that, you know, were priced so reasonably. Yeah, so that's really the thrill of the hunt.
Yes.
That Tara Soaks is what makes it really good, because really in antiques, it's all knowledge. That the key is knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know what you're going to find, because it's hard for a dealer to know about everything, you know, and dealers have so many different objects come through, you know, that they may purchase from an estate or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you just never know what treasure you are going to find there. And I have found, some, and I've heard of other people that have found some real treasures.
And over the years, a lot of the different film production companies have partnered with Tara Soaks Antiques to
right.
purchase items to for that go into the set that you see when you're watching TV mm-hmm. or a movie, right?
Yes, that's really exciting. Now, when I watch TV, I see it a whole different way. I look at the objects in the room and I think, I wonder where they found those.
Right.
It's really interesting to see how that works.
Well, how can folks get more information about Tara Soaks Antiques?
Well, our wonderful owner, Camille, does a fabulous job of advertising. We're in the Charleston Living magazine. She advertises, you know, in the News and Courier. We have a website, which is www.terraceoaksantiques.com. And we're on Facebook and Instagram. It's Tara Soaks Antiques. And we would love everyone to follow us on there. Camille is very good about posting pictures of things that come in that are really interesting or exciting, or keeping you up on any sales or specials. So we hope everyone will come out. We're just minutes from downtown Charleston. And
yes.
It's a beautiful ride over the connector to get there.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the physical address is 2037 Maybank Highway.
Highway, yes it is.
So very, very easy to find, very convenient for
and we have easy parking, free parking, so that's a real plus.
It is. You don't have to fight for parking going to the downtown antique stores.
Right. But it's a wonderful mall.
Well, we have
shop. And Camille just does such a great job of making sure everything in there is clean, everything is true to form and as it should be, and well represented, correctly represented.
It's like visiting a museum, but you can touch everything. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And take it all home and enjoy it.
That's right.
Years and years.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, we have been talking with Tricia Greenberg. She's one of the vendors that has been at Tara Soaks Antiques for over 34 years. Thanks so much for taking the time, Tricia.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. I hope to see you soon.
And now we're talking with Linda Greenberg with Linda Greenberg Landscape and Design. How are you, Linda?
I'm great. I hope you're well, Tim.
Doing fine, thank you. Linda, take a moment and tell our listeners all about Linda Greenberg Landscape and Design.
Well, I'm a passionate professional gardener and landscape designer. I've been doing this for almost 30 years. I love what I do, and I get to meet wonderful people and create amazing garden spaces, which are usually a wonderful extension of their lifestyle and architecture.
Well, very good. And I'm looking at your ad in Charleston Home and Design magazine, and you've got quite a number of services that you can help homeowners with. Custom outdoor spaces and outdoor kitchens, retaining walls, stone patios and walkways, outdoor garden rooms, fire pits, water features, landscape lighting. Is there anything that Linda Greenberg Landscape and Design does not do in the outside of someone's home?
No, actually, you said it best. We're full service, so we're a design, build, install firm, so it is full service. Most of my clients work with me from A to Z. Once I meet with the client and we decide what their intentions are and ways to optimize their outdoor spaces, not just for beautification and functionality, but also lifestyle. I think that's really important. We do everything. If you can imagine it outdoors, we do it. And I've aligned myself as well with pool companies, local, that I design the pools and kind of oversee and help the clients select pool tiles and things of that sort. Overall layout's really important. The flow of a garden is very important, how you connect to the inner parts of your home.
Sure. And a lot of times, folks either do not have the land to expand their home if they wanted to put an addition on, or maybe they're just not inclined to do something like that. But you really can extend the living space to the outdoor space if you choose. And I think of this time of year, a lot of people are taking advantage of the nice weather and going outside to watch football games and have get-togethers and so forth. And this time of year, what should people be thinking about as it relates to their outdoor spaces?
I think you hit the nail on the head. COVID, believe it or not, actually worked to the family side of sharing time together more at home and with the family and friends, and just more of an interconnectivity, if you want to say, of your home life, along with your office space, outdoor office spaces, outdoor kitchens, any hardscapes at all that you can imagine. Fire pits are obviously wonderful this time of year, great congregating areas for conversation. Typically, I always encourage people to, if they're even considering to do a small or a large project, it really doesn't matter to the size of it, to go ahead and start about this time of year. The holidays are good. I also offer gift certificates for people if they want to buy. It's a great stocking stuffer for an on-site consultation, and they can give me a call, at the end of the line. I'm sure you'll tell them my phone number, but the fall and the winter months are when the garden starts to go dormant and the changing of the seasons. And typically I like using the garden spaces year round. So anything that the client has that they want to, play around with and ideas, we kind of do like an overall sketch on that on-site consultation and throw around some ideas. And then once we get that put down on some type of paper form or some kind of outline, then we start working with that. And then usually, I would say if they are in an HOA where they have to get approval, then I work as a liaison for them on that. And then by, late winter, early spring, they will be able to be in their new garden space, or at least begin on the installation of that, which, again, you hit the nail on the head. It extends an outdoor living space, and the home is so much more larger and gives you more privacy areas and more entertaining areas as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And with anything that you're doing on the outside of your home, it all starts with a plan, and you don't have to implement that plan all at once. It can be, you can phase it in over time, right?
That's correct. Actually, I always recommend that is always dream big. Don't cut your dream short, even if you have to phase it. And, you know, having someone with as much experience as I have, you know, almost 30 years in the industry, you know, I can show you ways to optimize the budget and what to work, you know, what to start with first. Usually I like to start with, you know, the hardscapes first and that type of thing, or the perimeter plantings, which usually is like privacy, especially in some of the courtyards that are in the more in the Charleston area. But you have lots of courtyards these days anyway, even in, you know, whether it's a townhouse or a condo community. I never forget those folks either. They have some real wonderful potential possibilities, even in the smallest of spaces. So really extending that, making it pretty where you want to go outside and breathe the fresh air and just enjoy stepping off the merry-go-round.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. And what parts of the Charleston area does Linda Greenberg Landscape and Design help homeowners?
Everywhere. I work both in Charleston and all over the Carolinas, actually, North and South Carolina. I have an office out of Charlotte as well as Charleston. My home is Charleston, but I work in both cities. So I work all over. If a client is looking for a landscape design, I'll go to them and we'll work through the project together. I've worked in other states as well, but I prefer to stay in the Carolinas. I'm a Carolina girl, so, you know, it's close to my heart. I love to make the world more beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. Well, how can folks get more information about Linda Greenberg Landscape and Design?
Well, I would love for them to give me a call. My phone number, direct phone number, is 704-995-7173, or they can visit my website at lindagreenberglandscapedesigns.com. And also they could check me out on Houzz, which is HOUZZ.com. I have won Best of Houzz for probably, I think it's 12 or 13 years now, and you have to earn that. You can't buy your way through that. That's just pleased clients, and I have positive reviews. And I want clients to really enjoy their garden. It's more than a business to me. I want it to be a very special private place for the clients and very personal. So, of course, I'm a business, so I have to pay overhead and that type of thing, but I really love what I do, and my objective is to work with the client that best suits their needs.
Well, that's great. And you can always find Linda Greenberg Landscape and Design within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with landscape designer Linda Greenberg with Linda Greenberg Landscape and Design. Thanks so much, Linda.
Yeah, Tim, thank you so much. And have a great holiday season. I hope to hear from you soon.
Thanks. And same to you.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.